Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Continuing the story of Jesus while he was here upon this earth, we now take note of some of his teaching. Now, Jesus faced a number of problems as he approached the time of his death on the cross, and not the least among them was the conflict that was brewing among his own apostles. They as yet did not understand so many things. They had insufficient faith, and one of them would even betray him. But they were arguing over who would be the greatest among them once Jesus was gone. In Capernaum, Jesus met this strife among his men. The question was asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom?" Well, the apostles were even then reaching for rank and for position. And this ambition had even reached to even to those who were the closest to him. The desire to be chief has always been a problem among people, hasn't it? Often the undoing of many. We cannot overestimate the destructiveness of such attitudes in the work of the apostles, certainly in the work that they were charged to do, and even in the work of Christians today, the work that we are called upon to do. The selfish ambitions, the desire for glory and notoriety, oh, that's hindered the cause of Christ so many times. There are things that some will do to be, well, as we say, the big dog in the kennel, but they're not beyond doing the things that don't require so much prominence and importance. Jesus taught, however, the necessity of humility. Even humility like that of a little child. Now, the ambition for personal gain was contrary to being a person of service. He taught that the more one served, the greater he would be. Someone has suggested, and I suggest rightly so, that each of us could and probably would do much more if we were more indifferent as to who would get the credit for what is done. And not only did he teach humility, but he taught forgiveness. How much better to rid ourselves of whatever would keep us out of heaven, and the failure to forgive can do that very thing. And he taught how to correct personal differences and conflicts that would among those that would compose the church. The offended one must approach the offender, with the goal and the purpose of seeking a solution to the differences. Even after personal attempts are made and they fail, why, efforts should be made to include others to resolve the problem. The strife should not be allowed to continue. And if, after a while, all of the efforts are exhausted, then they may have to withdraw fellowship from the offender if he does not want to repent of the things that he's done that is wrong. But one of the strongest lessons that Jesus ever gave on the need to forgive was preached at the city of Capernaum. It was his parable of what we call the parable of the unmerciful servant. You see, one servant had been forgiven a great debt, but that same servant refused to forgive a much smaller debt that was owed to him. And the unforgiving one was condemned, and he was punished for his failure to forgive, especially after he had been forgiven. And the lesson Christ taught is unmistakably clear. Friend, if we seek and expect forgiveness of our transgressions by the Father above, we must also be ready and willing to forgive those who may sin against us. The world has never heard such teaching as that which was given by Christ, and the world even yet does not approve of the teaching of Christ. But oh, how much better our world would be if we could develop humility and service and forgiveness of other people. Well, after teaching like this, Jesus departed from Galilee for the last time. He begins to make his way toward Jerusalem, down in Judea, and the things that awaited him there. His journey to Judea would once again take him through the province of Samaria, Now, one will recall on an earlier present there, Jesus met a woman at Jacob's well, and he preached how he was the water of life. Well, the Passover time was approaching. Jesus sent his disciples into Jerusalem ahead of him. And there was much disagreement among the people in Jerusalem about Jesus, and he had become quite a controversial figure by this time, many receiving and accepting him, but so many still led by the leaders opposing him. And many wondered whether or not he would even come to Jerusalem for the Passover feast, because there was a greater hostility against him there than in other areas. And while some acknowledged he was a good man, others said that he was leading people astray. Well, there was considerable disagreement among Bible students about the chronology of the events during this part of the personal ministry of Christ. We're not going to attempt to unravel the various theories that men have drawn up and proposed about the chronology, because that's not as important as to recognize the things that actually did take place. We prefer to concentrate on the events themselves that continue to show Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, which, after all, was the prime purpose of the first four books of the New Testament. Jesus seems to have made several short journeys across the Jordan, just north of the Dead Sea, back into Jerusalem and into Bethany, until the final week of his life before his crucifixion. And now we want to trace his steps through Samaria as he goes southward to Jerusalem. Some went before him to prepare his passage through that territory. And when he arrived, the Samaritans would not receive him. Now this was not totally uncommon in view of the fact of the hostility between Jew and Samaritan. But James and John were with him at this time, and they noted the rejection of Jesus, and they suggested that Jesus command fire to come down upon the people to destroy them. Well, Jesus refused to do that. But it was in this environment that Jesus said, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." No doubt the rejection by so many of the very ones he had come to bless was very trying on Jesus. And these were no doubt that in his eventual coming to Jesus created an intense excitement among the people, both among friends as well as among foes. But one must consult all four books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to find the inspired record of the event that shall simply and briefly mention with little comment. That was the occasion when an adulterous woman was brought before Jesus. The people were ready to stone her, as the law of Moses taught that one should be treated after proper judicial procedures had taken place and the guilty had been convicted. But she was brought to Jesus, and he was asked what he would do. Well, this was to find occasion to criticize Christ, whichever position he might have taken regarding her. But Jesus simply wrote on the ground. Now, friend, what he wrote on the ground, we're not informed. The accusers persisted, and Jesus finally lifted himself up, and he invited those who were without sin to cast the first stone. At this, the accusers began to slip away one by one. Then Jesus forgave the woman, and he told her to go and sin no more. Well, it angered the Pharisees all the more when he taught that he was the light of the world. When he exposed their sinfulness, they sought to stone him. They claimed that they were the sons of Abraham. But Jesus said, if you were the sons of Abraham, you would do the good works of Abraham. You would believe me. He said they sought to kill him because he told them the truth. Well, of course, they would not accept that kind of accusation against themselves. But Jesus also healed the blind man. The man was told to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Well, later the man was brought before the Pharisees, and they questioned him how he received his sight. He told them what Jesus had done. But they were furious at the former blind man and threatened him, and he called Jesus a sinner. They even asked his parents about the matter. But they said the son was indeed born blind, but he was old enough to answer for himself. And later Christ found him, and he believed. Well, it was about this time that Jesus taught the lesson of the Good Shepherd. He intimated that the shepherd was to lay down his life for the sheep. That's what a good shepherd would do. And indicated that his forthcoming death would be of this nature. Well, this only infuriated his enemies all the more. And it was in this scenario of events that he taught about the Good Samaritan. And that was in answer to the lawyer's question to what to do to have eternal life and who is my neighbor. We read also how he visited the home of Mary and Martha. And while Martha was busy about the duties of the home to the neglect of receiving spiritual teaching, he said Mary had chosen the good part. Friend, does not this insist that the Lord expects each of us to establish a proper set of priorities and seek first things first? This does not allow for the neglect of lesser matters, but the more important ones must be given prime attention. But we see Jesus was also accused of being in league with the devil. He severely denounced the sins of the Pharisees and the lawyers. Their intensity of opposition against him had reached almost explosive levels. But we must remember the humility, the gentleness, the kindness, the compassion of Jesus Christ, even under these trying circumstances. But those qualities is not what took him to the cross, friend. What took him to the cross, as far as enemies were concerned, was his stern and forthright condemnation of sin. The sinners simply would not listen to his words. But he continued to teach on the subject, such as the vanity of earthly riches, worldly anxieties, the necessity of being watchful, and the wise stewardship that it entails. Again, he told of his coming death because he wanted the people to forsake their sins, and he warned them all to repent or to perish. He even cited two current events, Pilate killing worshipers in Galilee and the falling of a tower in Siloam that killed many, not being as bad as those who would refuse to repent. And with that kind of teaching, he taught the parable of the barren fig tree. He showed the necessity of producing good fruit. He showed the condemnation of pretending to be what one is not, the condemnation of hypocrisy. But his strongest denunciations were yet to come when he condemned the hypocrisy of the scribes and the Pharisees as he taught concerning the coming judgment. Well, we're going to look a little bit further at some of the things that Jesus taught as we go forward with the story of Jesus. We're beginning to come toward the latter hours of his life here upon this earth. And as we see these things in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are we not impressed all the more? What Peter confessed, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." This is a burning fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd, and until next time.